Would you pray with me right now? Would you raise your hands and pray? Lord Jesus, by the power and the demonstration and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, not by might nor by power, but by Thy Spirit, let Your Word go forth in power. That the angel of the Lord would encamp around about us that fear Thee. That Your Word would be loose. That You would take us beyond our frailty and inability and human ignorance. And let us walk in the dimension of divine knowledge and revelation and understanding. Loose the bondage of deception and sin. Loose the plague of the world that has come to eat upon us and separate us, and let us walk in the newness of life. Hallelujah. I plead the blood of Jesus. Would you pray that with me? I plead the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus. If you have your Bibles tonight, I have wrestled with where to go and what to do. I felt this on my heart for several weeks. And when you get in an atmosphere like this, you're so tempted to want to preach something that people are like, so they'll have you back. And God never lets me do what I want to do. He always just kind of makes me do what He wants to do. And I don't know about that, but I'm going to do it anyway. 1 Timothy chapter 2, then Titus chapter 3, James chapter 4. 1 Timothy, I figure if I please Him, everything else will take care of itself. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. God is so good. Somebody said He's good all the time. He has never failed. My wife got on me. I sing that little song, He's Never Failed Me Yet. And she got on to me the other day and she said, that song don't even make sense. God can't fail. Let's raise our hands. I just felt something just settling in here. The Holy Ghost is set. Would you just receive it right now? Let's don't get in a hurry. Just be very careful. Very careful as the wind of the Spirit begins to blow. Father, we receive it. In Your name, we receive it. You are our gracious God. You're our hope. You're our help. Very present help. My help cometh from You. Lift up mine eyes to the hills from which cometh. Asa Tehema. Good God. Good God. Good God. 1 Timothy 2 and chapter 4. Who will have all men, say all men, to be saved. Say to be saved. And to come unto the knowledge of what? Of the truth. Then Titus chapter 3 verse 5. Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. Say, He saved me. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. James chapter 4 and verse 14. James 4 and verse 14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, there's that word again, time, and then vanisheth away. Say, what is your life? Bible said it is even a vapor. I want to ask you a question tonight in the Holy Ghost, and I ask you to help me by responding and listening. I don't know if we'll shout. I don't know if we'll run. I don't know if we'll jump, but I believe somebody's going to be changed. And I simply want to preach this question. Were you saved too soon? Were you saved too soon? Did God not know what He was doing when He let you be born into an apostolic home? Or did God not know what He was doing when He allowed you to hear the Word at a young age? Did God make a mistake when your friend witnessed to you at high school and you came in and was filled with the Holy Ghost? But things that used to entice you have begun to come back on you, and a spirit of the world has begun to look good. The thing that you left, the thing that you walked away from, has begun to entice and try to even entangle you again. And I just want to ask you, were you saved too soon? Let's clap our hands unto the Lord and give Him praise. May be seated. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. Jesus had all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus did all kind of things. He turned water into wine. He asked them to roll away the stone and called Lazarus, and Lazarus came forth. He that was dead was risen by the voice of God. This Jesus even fed the multitude in the desert place with 5 loaves and 3 fish. He took and He broke and He fed a multitude of 3,000 or even 5,000 men, not including the women and the children. This Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. This same Jesus cast out devils. This same Jesus reached down into the mud and by His spittle took dirt in His fingers and curled it into a little marble-sized ball and put it upon the eyelid of a blind man. And when He opened his eyes, He said, "I can see. I that was born blind can now see." This Jesus, when lepers come to Him, said, "Go thy way and go show yourselves to the priest." And when they got to the priest, they realized that they had been healed. But yet one of them went back and said, "I want to thank you that my leprosy has stopped." Then he was not only healed, he was restored. This Jesus had the power to walk into Jairus' house and say, "Would you stop your crying? Because Jairus' daughter, she is not just laying there. She is only asleep. She is not dead. Hush your weeping." And he said, "Damsel, arise." And the Bible said that she arose and was delivered and brought back to life. I'm talking about this Jesus. This Jesus was sitting in the city, maybe just listening and visiting with His disciples, when a funeral processional walked by. The widow of Nain was bent over, having lost her husband, maybe even another child, and her only son lay upon the bricket, dead and cold and stiff, going to a grave. But this Jesus walked up and stopped the processional and touched him, and he was brought back from the dead. I'm talking about God manifest in the flesh. I thank God that He turned water into wine. I thank God that He could heal the sick. I thank God that the paraplegic could be healed by the touch of the Master's hand. I thank God that the lame walked, that the dumb talked, and that the blind could see by the spoken voice of Jesus. This Jesus, when He stepped out of the bow of the boat, somebody help me right now. This Jesus, when He stepped out of the bow of the boat and His sandaled feet touched the sandy shores of Gadarenes, a man that was bound by the devil, maybe even 12,000 devils, a legion of devils, but there was not a devil in hell that that could keep somebody from praising Him. Because even though I was born in sin and shapen in iniquity, I was born to praise Him and to recognize and magnify the name of the Lord. Even the devil couldn't stop this man that had even taken the name of his oppressor. You're not hearing me right now. This man whose name had been changed. His name may have been Eleazar. His name may have been Samuel. But he had taken the identity of his sin. And he had been called Legion because he was full of the devil. But when Legion saw Jesus, he fell on his feet and worshiped Him. I've come to tell you, your name may be prostitute. Your name may be drug addict. Your name may be pervert. Your name may be liar. Your name may be illegitimate. But there is not a devil in hell that can keep you from going to this altar and bowing your knees and being delivered by the power of the Holy Ghost. There is not an addiction. There is not a bottle. There is not a needle. There is not a perversion. There is not a lust that can keep you from the love of God. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Neither height, nor depth, nor power, nor angels, nor principality. I thank God that He healed, that He did miracles, that He multiplied, that He turned water, that He multiplied fish and bread. But that is not why He came. The Bible said that the reason for His coming, that I have come to seek and to save that which was lost. I think sometimes that we forget the purpose of Jesus Christ and the purpose of the church. Miracles are wonderful, but miracles are not His purpose. Miracles are simply an attribute. Healing is wonderful, but healing is not His purpose. Healing is an attribute. Joy is great. Victory is great. Excitement's great, but excitement was not His purpose. Excitement is an attribute, but He came to seek, to search out, to find somebody. The Bible said that He would leave the 99 that were in the fold to go find that one lost sheep that was out in the drizzly cold desert air. I've come to preach to somebody tonight. I refuse to forget where He brought me from. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. I thank God for miracles, but more than miracles, I thank God that I've been redeemed by love divine. Oh, glory, glory, Christ is mine. I thank God that I've been to the water and I've been baptized. My soul got happy and I'm satisfied. I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. Hey. I thank God that I repented of my sins, that I was water baptized in Jesus' name, that I spoke in tongues when the Holy Ghost came, that He saved me. Go ahead and sit down. I'm feeling my help coming in here now. I'm afraid that we have focused so much on the attribute of the church, that we have focused so much on miracles, signs, and wonders, that we have forgot the purpose that we are here. I'm afraid that we have made fun of denominational Christendom to the point that we have forgotten a word that they use. You find somebody, they come up to you in the mall. You can't tell it by looking, but they're excited. And they say, "Guess what, preacher? I just got saved. Guess what? I just got saved." Because of certain things that we know are not biblical, we have shied away from that, and we don't even use that terminology. I think it's our approach that we let the world steal what should be our joy and should be our identity. And I've come to tell somebody, I'm saved by the blood of the Lamb. I am no longer bound. I am no longer living under sin. I am no longer living under bondage. I don't believe you come to the altar on Sunday night and talk in tongues and then have to give in to the devil by Wednesday night. I believe that you can get saved. I believe that you can be saved from the bottomless pit of hell. That you can be saved from sin, from addiction, from perversion. I'm glad I'm saved. Anybody here saved? Anybody here been filled with the Holy Ghost? anybody got the Holy Ghost down in your soul, I don't want to let the devil take your testimony away from you. These are they that overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Oh, I think I'm going to preach a while right now. Because you see, when you get saved, you're not saved until you first realize you were lost. And you're not saved until you get saved from something. You cannot be saved unless you have been saved from something. If your salvation has not brought you away from something, then you have not yet been saved. You have simply acknowledged a Savior. But when you go beyond acknowledging the Savior, He will call unto you and He will bring you out, and He will say, come unto me. He will say, be ye separate, saith the Lord, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Come out. I'm preaching to somebody. Come out from among them. Come out. Separate yourself. You got to be saved from something. You don't just say, I'm saved and don't know when I got saved. Honey, when you get saved, that means that the God of the universe that said, let there be light, and there was light. The God that stuck, that pushed the dirt out from under His fingernails and hurled the stars into the galaxy. That God that by vocalizing in an articulation of divine voice saying, let there be, created a galaxy, created the moon, the Milky Way, the stars. Somebody hear me right now. And when you say that you've got saved, you're saying that that same God that came in human form, in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I in you and you in me. When you get saved, you're saying that the God of the universe, who manifests Himself in the flesh, just moved and got inside you. That the God of creation, the God who is the Ancient of Days, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. I don't think you're hearing me. You can't get saved and not know when it happened. You can't get saved and not feel something happened to you. But when the God of the universe gets inside you, you'll feel Him in your hands. You'll feel Him in your feet. The prophet in the Old Testament said, it's just like fire. Shut up. It's just like fire. Shut up. It's just like fire. Shut up in my bones. I wish I had a witness in here. I really need somebody that don't just shout, don't just holler. I want you to get it. When God gets inside you, you become a new creature. You become a son of God. You become a joint heir with Christ Jesus. You are no longer earthly. You become celestial. You become of a heavenly nature. All you're waiting for, Romans said that this same Spirit, what Spirit? The Spirit that quickened the mortal body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when the trump of God sounds, that same Spirit is going to quicken you. And 1 Thessalonians said you're going to be caught up. You're going to be caught up. I've come to preach to some apostolic young person. You are not just a part of a denomination. You are not just a part of a club. You are not just a part of a church with a title. But you have been born into the kingdom of God. And you are a child of God. And that holy thing that is in you is the Holy Ghost. That holy thing that is in you was not born of spirit, but it was born of God. It was not born of flesh. It was not born of carnality. You did more than believe and sign a card. You did more than shake a preacher's hand. The devil believes in one God and trembles, but you went beyond believing in a Savior, and you let that Savior bring you out of bondage, bring you out of brokenness, bring you out of perversion, and He filled you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. If you've been saved, I wish you would thank Him with everything that is in your heart. I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved. But there's a danger in just being saved. You see, when I get a $100 bill and I want to save it, I do not use it, but I take it out of circulation and I put it in my billfold, and I don't tell my wife about it, and I don't tell my son about it, and I sure enough don't tell my daughter about it, but I hide it in my billfold and I save it for that new tie. I save it for that new shirt. I save it for that steak me and Brother Morton's going to go help ourselves with. Hallelujah. I save it for entertainment, but yet while I am saving it, it is out of circulation. But when God saves you, He does not save you to hide you and to cloister you. When God saves you, He doesn't save you to put you on a shelf and say, wait until I blow my trumpet and then I'm going to dust you off and bring you home. But when God saves you, He saves you to serve. He saves you to serve. He saves you to show the world, I used to be where you are, but look at me now. I used to be acting like you. I used to dance like you, but now I dance in the Holy Ghost. I used to get drunk like you, but now I get drunk in the Holy Ghost, and I don't even have a hangover. I just enjoy the Holy Ghost. I don't dance like this anymore. Honey, I dance like this. I can't help it. I can't help it. He brought me out. He did that. You call a Bahaya. You Has He brought anybody out? Can I preach a while? Some of you Hispanics, some of you Latinos, you used to dance to Selena, but now you're dancing to Jesus Christ. Now you're dancing to Jesus Christ. Now He changed your walk. He changed your talk. He changed your nature. Yeah! I'm not what I used to be. I wasn't saved to be put on a shelf. I wasn't saved to look pretty. I wasn't saved to hide in my church. Oh, we're fixing to have a little church around here. You might as well help me. I wasn't saved to sit on a Pentecostal pew and condemn everybody else that doesn't look like me. I wasn't saved to be self-righteous and say, you're going to hell. But I was saved to show them that saved by the grace of God, I would be just like you. But I've been delivered. He set me free. He set me free. He set me free. He broke the chains. He broke the chains. He broke the chains. Can I preach a while? Some of you African Americans, you used to boogity bebop to old Snoopy Puppy Dog, whatever his name is. But when you got the Holy Ghost, you done changed rhythm. When you got the Holy Ghost and fire, something happened to you. Something happened to you. Something happened to you. You don't need ecstasy. You don't need crack. You don't need a bottle. All you need is when I think of where He brought me from. When I think of where I was. When I think of what my name was. Anybody glad that you're saved? Anybody glad that you're saved? Sanctified. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you rednecks, you used to do the boot scoot boogie with Billy Cyrus and Garth Brooks. But when Jesus got a hold of you, you don't need a long neck. You don't need a cow. All you need is Jesus. All you need is the grace of God. All you need is the hope of deliverance. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying when you got the Holy Ghost, you can shout when it's not even your song. You can praise Him when it's not even your style. You can get happy when they sing, "I'll fly away." You can shout when they say, "In that city where the Lamb is the light, in that city where there cometh no night, I've a mansion over there." Anybody here saved? No, I didn't ask you. I didn't ask you if you had the Holy Ghost. I asked you if you got it right now. I don't care when you received it. I want to know if you got it right now. I want to know if you're full of it right now. I want to know if you're talking in tongues right now. I don't care what happened last Sunday night, but if the trump of God would sound right now, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? You hear me right now. There's somebody listening to me that when you got here on Monday, you were in sin. You were sleeping with your boyfriend. You were messing with your girlfriend. You were lying to your preacher. But the grace of God has got a hold of you. And you can say, "I'm saved right now. I've been to an altar. I've been to an altar. I repented of my sins. I confessed of my failure. And He was faithful to forgive me." I can either let you go or I can preach. There are three dimensions of salvation. In the New Testament Greek, the word "saved" is the Greek word "sozo," S-O-Z-O, which means saved immediately and supernaturally by the grace of God through His cross. When you confess and repent and are filled with His Spirit and water baptized in Jesus' name, you have no more past. You have no more failure. You have no more. You break off with that covenant. You break off with that owner. You're not hearing me. I said you have no more past. You need to turn from your old friends. You need to turn and say, "I don't have to hang around you. I don't. You're not my friend. You're not my friend. You're trying to take me to hell. But I have decided to follow Jesus." You got to get saved from something. You got to from such, listen to me, from such, the Bible said, from such, turn away. There's some of you, you need to turn your back and say, "I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take its houses and its lands, but give me Jesus. Take popularity, but give me Jesus. Take the quarterback spot, but give me Jesus. Take the cheerleading job, but give me Jesus. Take the modeling spot, but give me Jesus. Give me Jesus." You gotta get saved. You gotta get saved. You can't say that you're saved if you look more like the world than you look like your father. You're not saved. You're not saved. When you get saved, the Bible said that you abhor evil. You hate evil. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to sing it. You don't want to wear it. And you don't want to do it. You abhor evil. You say, "Greater is He." I'm trying to preach to some young people. You need to get saved. Hold on. You say, "Brother Super, do we need to preach standards?" Yes. Do we need to preach holiness? Yes. But more than that, we need to get saved. Because when you get saved, when Jesus gets inside you, when God gets inside you, Jesus won't work in a crack party with you. Jesus won't sleep with your girlfriend with you. Jesus won't get drunk with you. Jesus won't watch a dirty movie with you. Jesus won't party with the devil with you. Whose side are you on? Whose side are you on? Who's on the Lord's side? Who's on the Lord's side? Hold on.
When I get like this, I have to behave myself, but I'm just going to pace myself and preach a while. Is that all right? It's only 10 to 9, and we got to midnight. I'm saved. How do you know I'm saved? Because I act like Jesus. I've got the character of Jesus. I have the nature of God, the nature of my Father. I am beginning to develop into His characteristic. I am beginning to develop to where I'm more like Him than I am like the world. That's how you know you're saved. Let me tell you about salvation. Anybody ever heard about Jonah? Anybody ever heard about Jonah? Jonah in the belly of the whale. Jonah was a prophet, but Jonah failed God. Look at your neighbor and say, God can use you even if you fail. God can deliver you even if you rebel. All you've got to do is repent and get right. I'm preaching to somebody right now. God's given you a second chance. God's come to give you a second chance. You be loose right now. You be loose right now. God's come to give you a second. He's come to give you a second chance. You can go home. Some of you been singing in the choir, but getting thirsty for Jack Daniels before you even home. Some of you been shouting in the altar and putting stuff up your nose. Some of you been hiding from your mama and putting your tongue down somebody's throat. What you need to do is get saved. What you need to do is get saved. You need to get saved. Brought out from. Brought out from. Brought out from. Jonah failed. Please listen. I don't want you to go into a frenzy. I'm not preaching for your response. I want somebody to hear me. Jonah was a failure. Jonah was cast out of the boat. He had turned from God. He was going the opposite direction. But the Bible said that God, say God, had prepared a great fish. Have you ever wondered why that was so important? Have you ever wondered why Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah? It was not because he was a powerful orator. It was not because he smelled like seaweed. But let me break it down for you. Have you ever heard of the god of the Philistines by the name of Dagon? Anybody ever heard of Dagon? Dagon in the days of the Ark of the Covenant being placed in the temple of Dagon was half man. Say half man. And half fish. But Dagon was not invented by the Philistines. But Dagon was the original god of the people of Nineveh. And before he was perverted as half man and half fish, in Nineveh he was just a huge golden fish. And history tells us that in the middle of the city of Nineveh, there was a huge golden idol of a huge golden fish that the people of Nineveh worshipped and committed barbarous acts. Acts of perversion. Acts of incest, acts of murder, to worship this golden fish. Now, isn't it amazing that when God got ready to save Nineveh, that He picked somebody that He knew would run. He picked somebody that He knew they were going to throw in the water. But what he didn't know, what Jonah didn't know, is that God decided to take the God of Nineveh. Take the God of Nineveh, put the church in the belly of the God of this world. No, slow down. Slow down. When God got ready to save Nineveh, He did not send Jonah by himself, but a great fish that God had prepared. I don't believe it was their God. I don't believe that it preexisted. I believe that God made it happen so that He could minister to their superstition. But can you imagine what happened when that priest that worshiped that golden fish on a pole, when he was walking the walls of the city doing his evening prayers, and he looked out. Oh, he had worshiped this thing his entire life. It had never healed anybody. It had never saved anybody. It had never delivered anybody. He said, it's just tradition. It's just stuff that I've heard. The world has heard all the religion that they want to hear. They're tired of hearing religion. They're tired of hearing this step, this step, this step, this step. They're looking for a delivering power of a delivering God. They're looking for a God that can deliver them, that can set them free. They're tired of sermonettes. They're tired of lectures. They're tired of cold formality. They're tired of what mama had and what daddy had. They're hungry for something for themselves. Now, can you imagine this young priest while he was walking on the top of the city, and he looked down, and all of a sudden he began to see a fin come out of the water. My God, what was that? That wasn't a shark and that wasn't a porpoise. But could it be? We've talked about it for years. We've said that there was a God for years. Could it be? Oh my God, look, it's real. Look at the size of that thing. And the Bible said that that great fish beached itself upon the ocean. Now can you imagine what Nineveh was doing? Because the Bible said it was a great fish. Say, it was a great fish. The world is excited because they have finally discovered the God of pleasure. The God of pleasure seems so real. The God of pleasure will take your depression away. The God of pleasure will take your heartache away. The God of pressure will let you forget your problems for a season. But the pleasure of sin is but for a season. But what's going to happen when the God of Nineveh opened its mouth, and here come the church walking out of the belly of the God of this world, saying, it had me, it had me, it had me. I was in its belly for 3 days and three nights. It had me. It swallowed me. And it almost drowned me. But God brought me out. And God put me here. And after 3 days and three nights, he came walking out of the jaws of the belly of hell, saying, I've been delivered. I've been delivered. I've been delivered. Now can you imagine what it did to Nineveh? It wasn't Jonah's preaching, but it was the seaweed wrapped around his neck and the dead fish laying on the beach that they said that was our God. But this preacher's got a God that could bring him out of the belly of our God. This preacher's got a power greater than our power. This preacher, are you hearing me? This preacher has a power greater than anything I've ever had. It's greater than seminary. It's greater than a trinity. It's greater than a philosophy. It's greater than a bar room. It's greater than a ball game. It's the power to set men free. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. Would you worship him? I've been saved. Now, this is what salvation is. Salvation is when they see you walk out of the belly of their God. They know you used to like it. They know you used to be swallowed up. They know you used to be wrapped up in it. You like rock music from 6 a.m. to 2 a.m. You liked it all day long. You like to party. You like to lie. You like to steal from your mama. But when they see you walk out of the belly of the God of pleasure, when they see, then you can say, repent, repent, repent. You can't preach repentance until you've walked out. You can't preach salvation until you've walked out. You can't preach deliverance until you've been delivered, until you've been there, until he brought you out. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You want to win California? You want to win your friends? Why don't you pray until the world pukes you out? Why don't you talk in tongues till everything that's holding you pukes you out upon the shore of deliverance, and you can walk into your school saying, I'm changed. I'm changed. I'm changed. I'm changed. Would you love him right now, Jesus? Jesus! Right now, hands raised. Call on him right now. Call on him right now. Not hype, not screaming, but call on him. Help me. Help me. Somebody needs to walk out the God of this world right now. You need to throw that cigarette pack down right now. You need to leave that perversion right now. You need to go burn that video right now. That thing that's X-rated, that dirty thing you're hiding. You need to get rid of it right now. And you need to walk out of the belly of the God of this world. Please, please, please listen to what this preacher is trying to preach to you. I have not come for you to shout and to jump. Thank you for responding. But when I think of the grace of God, and I think about how precious liberty is, how precious deliverance is, but then when I think about the price of deliverance, it did not come by the beat of an organ. If you want to sit down, you can. I'm not through. If you want to stand, you can. It did not come by the beat of an organ or the beat of a drum, nor by a cute story. But it came by the Lamb of God. He had no sin, but He took my sin. He had no shame, but He took your shame. He had no perversion, but He took yours. He had no handicaps. He had no problem, but He took yours. And He took it to the cross. Behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. I wish somebody tonight, when you leave and you turn your back on this message, I pray that the nails of Calvary, the nails of the hammer hitting the head of the nails as it drives into the hand of Jesus Christ, I pray that the crescendo of the sound of pounding nails would follow you all the way to your bedroom, that it would follow you all the way to your party, lest we forget what He did for us. This grace was not free. This grace was not free. Amazing grace. I think we get so caught up in enjoying our freedom and enjoying our anointing and enjoying our wonderful music, our wonderful preaching, and our wonderful singing, that we get so caught up in enjoying that we forget that every ounce of anointing we feel was paid for by a drop of blood. Every ounce of healing you've ever received was paid for by His stripes. Ye are healed. Yay! Every blessing you've ever received was by the blood of Calvary. And how dare we take it and drag it in the mud and act like it doesn't mean anything to us again. Let me read to you what the Bible says. I'm just going to keep preaching because I'm not through yet. I thank you for your response, but I'm not through yet. I'm not even tired yet. I'm just fat and overweight, but I'm not tired. I feel like preaching right now. Here's what the Bible said. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, seeing they crucify, say it, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put Him to an open shame. I've come to tell somebody that when you slip and fall, Micah said, rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. There is a difference between slipping and falling and conscientiously turning away. But when you conscientiously make up in your mind, it's not worth it. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to shout anymore. I don't want to pray anymore. I don't want to obey the word anymore. I don't want to submit to my pastor anymore. Then you're putting him to an open crucifixion all over again. And I've come to preach to somebody, it is not worth it. Calvary was too horrible to do it again. To crucify him afresh. I thank God for salvation. I thank God for deliverance. But evidently, some of you were saved too soon. Evidently, God didn't know what He was doing. Because after having received the gift, the Bible said in Matthew 16, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? 2 Peter 2, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, listen, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Another scripture says, and it was quoted tonight, like a dog returning to its vomit. You let me, this preacher, preach to you what God told me today. It's stirring my heart that evidently God went to Calvary too soon for some of you. Evidently He took the alcohol away from you too soon. Evidently He let you be born in the wrong family, because when you should be happy, when you should be thankful, you're beginning to go out. You're looking for an excuse to leave the truth. You must have been saved too soon. Did God make a mistake? Brother Suber, He saved me before I had a chance to get anybody pregnant. He saved me before I had a chance to lose my virginity. Did He save you too soon, or did He save you just in time? Did He save you too soon? He saved me too soon for me to have my first overdose. He saved me too soon for me to get AIDS in my body. He saved me too soon to have an illegitimate baby. Instead of griping about it, you ought to be thankful about it. Salvation is more than emotion. It's the blood of Calvary. And some of you walk away from it and drag it in the mud and say, it doesn't mean anything to me. The pleasure of the world means more to me than the price of Calvary. God forbid if there's somebody playing like you were saved too soon. I feel the spirit of conviction sweeping over this place like a wave. Like a wave. Would you raise your hands and cry in the Holy Ghost? Like a wave of the Holy Ghost. You listen to this preacher. I just left a 16-year-old that evidently got saved too soon. I just walked away from her Sunday night in the altar. She evidently, God must not have known what He was doing to put her in a Pentecostal home. God must have not have known what He was doing for her to get the Holy Ghost at 11 years old. He must have made a mistake. He must have got confused and saved her too soon, because she walked away from it and said, it's too soon for me to live that way. It's too soon for me to act that way. And at 16 years old, she met me after church Sunday night, right before I got on the plane. And her German foreign exchange student living in their home and her had been having a lesbian affair for about 3 months because she got saved too soon. And because she played games with it, and because she thought God didn't know what He was doing, she walked away from the grace of God, and now she's bound in a lifestyle and don't even know if she can be set free. You hear this, preacher? Hold on. I haven't come to offend any pastor. But I preach enough youth camps and youth things to know it doesn't matter how good you look. You young people are tired of being hypocrites. Some of you have never cut your hair, but you're sleeping with your boyfriend. Some of you have never been to a party, but you're playing with pornography on the internet. Were you saved too soon? Did God make a mistake? Or did God give you the power right in time to deliver you and to set you free? I'm preaching to somebody, not everybody. God must not have known that that coach was going to offer you a scholarship. God must not have known that the world was going to offer you everything, and He saved you too soon. So you got to walk away from salvation to do something that the world's offering to you. Do you think God saved you too soon? Or do you think God, man, knew what He was doing? I've come to preach to you that God didn't save any of you too soon. I don't care if you've never been anywhere, never done anything, or if you were an alcoholic on your way to death. God saved you just in time. And we do not have time to trample the blood of Jesus under our feet to play games with the devil. But somebody needs to make up in their mind, I'm saved and I'm going to stay saved. I'm saved. I'm tired of being Pentecostal because that's what I was raised. I'm going to be apostolic because that's what I am. From the inside, outside. Jesus on the inside. Working on the outside. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Oh, what a change. Musicians, come. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Keep standing, standing, standing. I got a lot of stuff left, but it's not worth it. The Holy Ghost is here right now. I have not come to preach to unbelievers. I've come to preach to believers that are playing games. I've come to preach to young people that are talking tongues on Sunday and cuss on Monday. I've come to talk to young people that if your mama knew what she was doing, she'd lose her hair in shock. It's happening right up here. And I want to ask you this question. Were you saved too soon? Did God make a mistake? Every eye closed. If you're in this place tonight and you feel like Jonah and the world is watching you float on the sea of humanity inside the belly of something that they believe in and enjoy, but you believe tonight God can open the jaws of hell and that you can walk out of the belly of the God of this world and that you can be loose forever, never to go back. Because listen, there's three dimensions of salvation. You're saved from sin. You are saved. And then you shall be saved. When you hear Him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Is there anybody that would like to go from the dimension of having had been saved to preparing yourself to be saved? Every eye closed. Listen to me. Nobody looking but the men of God in this place.
If you've been acting like you were saved too soon, if you've been living for God on Sunday and playing games on Saturday, if things have been fighting you and gnawing at you and condemnation and guilt are so heavy on you, but tonight in this anointed atmosphere, the fear of God is falling on you and you believe that God could save you and keep you safe. Hold on. Maybe you've been in church all your life, but tonight something could happen to you. Don't leave here acting like you were saved too soon and go enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. But if you're here and I'm preaching to you in the Word, nobody looking but the men of God, I want you to raise your hand in the balcony all over. Raise your hand right now, all over. If I'm preaching to you, if I've been preaching to you, raise your hand. I rebuke pride. Don't worry about pride. That's how to worship the devil, to have be lifted up with pride. Don't worry about pride. Lift your hand if that was you. Lift your hand if you've been living like you were saved too soon. But if conviction is gripping you and you want to run to this altar, I'm asking you from the balcony all the way, would you get out in these aisles? Would you press your way in? Would you lay your hand on somebody's back? And would you cry in the hole? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. There's deliverance moving right now. Don't live like you were saved too soon.
You come into my...
Come on, don't let the devil, the god of this world, he's laughing at you saying, oh, you got time, you got time, you were saved too soon. You've got time to backslide, you've got time to sleep around, you've got time to lie, you've got time to look like the world, you've got time to have fun. No, you're not, you weren't saved too soon, you were saved just in time. Come on, come on, come on. Take me home.